We've had drama right to the end of the Champions League group stage. Benfica have reached the round of 16 with Barcelona knocked out, beaten by Bayern in Munich. We break down how things unfolded in a dramatic conclusion to Group E. Lille and Salzburg are also in Monday's draw. A great night for them. Late drama in Russia denies Chelsea top spot as Juve conquer Group H, while Mason Greenwood produces something spectacular for Ralph Rangnick's Manchester United. We review another great night in the Champions League on Match Day Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by our team on the show tonight to review more Match Day 6 action. Commentators John Bradley and Phil Blacker are with me, along with European football expert Chris Parrott. Phil, let's start with you, the man across Bayern's 3-0 victory against Barcelona.
What a hugely impressive Bayern performance it was, Rob, having already won the group with a couple of games to spare. You knew from the moment you saw the team that Julian Nagelsmann picked that they were going to try and take care of business in ruthless fashion, and that is exactly what transpired. Barcelona's need was much the greater, but they never really got close. The Barcelona side, five times champions of Europe, who never previously failed to make it out of a group stage in this competition since the 2000-2001 season, needing a win to make sure that their remarkable run of consistency would continue, and as I say, never really got close to providing that victory. And for that, Bayern have to take full credit. They were absolutely excellent.
And all Benfica could do, John, because it was out of their hands, was win their game and hope that Bayern would do the business for them. And sure enough, that's what happened.
In the old days, supporters used to sit with transistor radios at their ears to listen to scores that were vital from other games. Now, of course, in the era of smartphones, they can even watch the other games while they're seeing what's going on inside their own stadium. And there were a few nerves for Benfica at the start of this game. Dynamo Kiev certainly came and decided that they were going to give them a real game and should have scored a couple of times inside the opening 15 minutes. Sigankov missing what was really basically an open goal, but there was a little bit of a nervy start, but after that, just a calmness seemed to ensue over Benfica. Once they got the first goal from Roman Yarenchuk and then a second from Gilberto, there was no looking back. They could have added a couple more before half-time, and the second half was really a walk in the park for them. Dynamo Kiev kept trying for Barcelona, but ultimately Benfica through to the round of 16 for the first time in 5 years. It's a great achievement for Jorge Jesus on his return to this club.
And we have 15 of the 16 teams in the knockouts because of the postponement of Atalanta versus Villarreal due to adverse weather conditions. But Chris, the lineup's looking pretty good for the start of the knockouts in February.
Yeah, it is. And very interestingly, we saw Chelsea not win their section. Juventus pipped them, so Chelsea are going to not be a seeded side in that draw. And Group G, we knew, Rob, it was going to be an amazing conclusion on Wednesday. All four teams could go through. And Lille, for me, one of the performances of the night to book their place. A handsome win away in Germany at Wolfsburg. And for Salzburg and for Austrian football, a massive night, because Salzburg are through and Austria has a representative in the knockout stages of the Champions League for the first time. So you could see the celebrations at full time there. A really good achievement. This club, who have produced so many wonderful footballers and have then sold them on, and in the past, on so many occasions, were knocked out in qualifying for the Champions League and didn't make the group stage, but here they are in the round of 16.
Let's go through Wednesday's results on Match Day 6. Group E, Bayern 3, Barcelona 0, Benfica 2, Dynamo Kiev 0. Group F, Manchester United 1, Young Boys 1, Atalanta against Villarreal postponed. More on that shortly. Group G, Salzburg 1, Sevilla 0, Wolfsburg 1, Lille 3. And in Group H, Zenit 3, Chelsea 3, Juve 1, Malmö 0. Remember, if you want to hear what happened in Tuesday's matches, download our previous edition of the podcast, available with all good podcast providers. Okay, the real drama then, I guess, was in Group E. Here are how things unfolded on the night in Munich and Lisbon.
back towards Romário. This is a chance, and the shot, and it's in. Benfica lead. It's a huge moment. It's a huge goal. It's scored by the former Dinamo Kiev player, Roman Yaremchuk. It's Benfica 1, Dinamo Kiev 0. Well, this will break, and it's a second chance inside the penalty area and into the top corner of the net. Things just get better and better for Benfica. It's Gilberto who sweeps the ball home.
Lewandowski and clips in the cross towards that far post. And a clearance off the line by Araujo. Did it cross the line, though? It was Müller who met it. And the goal here has been given, and Bayern have scored. Kingsley Coman has it here and finds Leroy Sané to strike one, left-footed and in! Deceived Marc-Andre ter Stegen, who was already going one way and couldn't quite react in time. Thumps into the back of the net. Bayern double their lead before the break. Musiala, he steers it in. Did he cut it back before it had gone beyond the byline? I think he did. Bayern celebrate, and they've scored a third goal here. Heading for 6 wins from 6 in the group. Barcelona heading for the exit. It's the end of an era for Barcelona. The 5-time champions are out of the Champions League. It's finished here. Bayern 3, Barcelona 0.
And that is how it would finish. So Bayern were already group winners, but they've made it 6 wins from 6, and Benfica finished second. Barcelona going to the Europa League, and Dinamo Kiev, well, they knew before tonight that they were out of European competition altogether. We heard John and Phil on commentary there, Chris with me as well on Match Day Live. Okay, let's review this one, starting with what happened in Munich, I suppose, in that first half. Phil, were the warning signs were there for Barcelona? We knew they were going into this with injuries. There were no Pedri, no Ansu Fati. But they were up against it early, against a strong Julian Nagelsmann 11.
They were. As I say, as soon as they saw the team sheet, Bayern's approach, I think, had been confirmed. We would have expected nothing less, in fairness, chasing that sixth win from six, second time in the last 3 seasons that they've done that in the group stage. And before Thomas Müller's header, which came just over half an hour into the game, which has crept over the line before Araujo could clear it away, Bayern had 2, maybe 3 big chances, which normally you would have expected them to put away. And perhaps at that stage, Barcelona thought, well, maybe, but from the moment really that Müller scored, and we're talking the merest of margins that it had crossed the line, but it was confirmed that it did by the technology. It was pretty much one-way traffic after that. Emphatic finish, stunning strike actually from Sané to make it 2-0 before half-time. And I think if Barcelona were harbouring any hopes, any belief at that stage, it probably disappeared when Sané scored, and their best hope would have come in the other game, of course. And I think maybe that's one of the most worrying things for Xavi, because when you talk about this remarkable record of consistency that Barcelona have had in this competition, qualifying for at least the quarterfinals for 13 straight years until going out in the round of 16 last season, to not even escape from the group stage this year. In previous seasons, they've had that aura, haven't they? They've always had that belief. They've been involved in some stunning comebacks, some successful, others maybe not successful, but they've come close. There was none of that this time. I think that aura disappeared, and Barcelona didn't appear to have that belief that they could get back in the game, and the gulfing quality really between the two sides rapidly became apparent. And 2-3-0 wins for Bayern against Barca in the group, who were also beaten by the same score against Benfica, scored just twice in their 6 group games. They can have no arguments that ultimately they haven't made it through.
Yeah, they had one chance for Sergiño Dest, who was sort of playing as the right of one of the three forwards, and he finished it more like a right wing back as opposed to a centre forward. As Phil mentioned, they never seemed to have belief, and I think Sané's goal was Bayern's 21st that they'd scored in the group stage, almost certainly their best. And I say that knowing that Robert Lewandowski scored an overhead kick in Kiev on match day 5. You have to watch the goal on UEFA TV or UEFA.com, because he hits it, Sané, from at least 25 metres, maybe further out. We thought it took a deflection because it swerved so much. And it went beyond Marc-Andre ter Stegen before he really managed to complete his dive. It looked like a goalkeeping error, but I don't think it is. You see how hard it hits the back of the net. It still looks like it's gathering pace, and it's gone that far. It was a sensational goal from Sané, who was magical all evening long.
I think many of us knew really that Barcelona did need to win in Munich, that it was highly likely that Benfica would beat Dinamo Kiev, already out of the Champions League. And John, credit to Benfica, because even before Bayern got up and running, and you mentioned about, you know, teams do keep across the other games in the group if they're pertinent, they were just doing their job in that first half of a half in Lisbon.
I think the first sense of relief in Lisbon tonight was when they saw the team sheet and saw what Bayern were doing. You know, how seriously...
Going so strong, yeah.
Yeah, they were going so strong. And a sense of respect from Bayern to Benfica, you know, not saying, look, we're through, we've won all the games, we're going to leave everyone out and play, you know, our under-12s or whatever, which, you know, you're entitled to do when you've won all the games, but no, out of respect for the competition, the integrity of the competition and the professionalism that they have themselves, they went very, very strong. And I think that would have lifted Benfica before the start. They still were a little nervy at the start of the game, and Viktor Sigankov missing what really was an open goal. I mean, that was the catalyst almost for Benfica finding their feet. Pizzi had a shot that was well saved, and from that moment on, it was one-way traffic in the first half. And the first goal, when it came, marvellously crafted by João Mário, the best player on the pitch on the night, and Rafa Silva, who's just mercurial in this Benfica side. And the goal scored by the former Dinamo Kiev man, Roman Yaremchuk, you know, selected tonight. It was a big call by Jorge Jesus and rewarded. And they got a second soon after a little bit of luck, as the ball ricocheted off Verbic outside the penalty area of the Dinamo man. It bounced into the penalty area. Gilberto had made a run from right back, found himself in what would have been an offside position in the penalty area, but the ball came off a Dinamo man and he was able to slot the ball home quite brilliantly, it must be said. And from then on, really, they never looked back. They were very, very calm. Great celebrations when the second goal went in Munich, and there was just a little nod and a few smiles when the third went in. They knew that the job had been done, that Bayern had done them a favour, and through to the knockout phase for the first time in 5 years. And a great job from them. I think that we saw when they beat Barcelona 3-0 away from home, it was a real marker and a statement that they made. But they've only scored 7 goals in the group phase. So, you know, that's an area that they will want to improve on come the new year. But for Benfica and for Jorge Jesus and for the supporters inside this great stadium, great to be back at the big table of European football in the new year, because that's where everyone wants to be.
And it was interesting, Rob. I think at half time you thought, well, I can't see Barcelona coming back, but what you could maybe see was a Dinamo Kiev comeback in Lisbon if Benfica got nervous. But the fact that Bayern in that second half knew they wanted to make it 6 wins from 6 and complete a perfect group stage, they were always going to go on and probably score at least one more. And they did through Jamal Musiala. And then after that, really, the game was dead. That was on 62 minutes. And in the end, actually, it was pretty comfortable. We thought it might be a really dramatic night going to the 90th minute, but in truth, probably for the last 30 minutes by the sounds of it, certainly in Lisbon and definitely in Munich, it was basically over.
I would say as well, Rob, that in the second half, Dinamo Kiev had a real old go at Benfica. Benfica were happy to sit in and just play on the counter-attack. Jorge Jesus felt that they had 2 goals and they were able just to be defensive. Odysseus Vlachodimos made a couple of really, really good saves and a couple more chances as well where the ball didn't quite fall for Dinamo Kiev. So nobody can fault them for their level of effort. Bearing in mind, out of European competition this year, they still went to Lisbon and they've still had a real, real go for that game and for Barcelona's sake as well.
And you touched on it, John, Bayern respecting the competition, because even at 3-0, and Chris is right, once that third goal went in Munich from Musiala, the game was over. But Bayern still kept coming forward. It was a remarkable display in that respect. And although it was about 20 minutes from time, I think, when they made a series of substitutions, brought some of the younger players on, and eventually, even though he didn't appear like he wanted to come off, of course, they brought Lewandowski off, a first group game that he hasn't scored in. They were still creating chances to the finish, and they were maybe eyeing up that record set by Paris 4 years ago of 25 goals in the group stage. Instead, they fell short of that, but it wasn't for want of trying. It was a brilliant performance from Bayern in the circumstances. Nagelsmann had made the point before the game that they owed it to the competition and their rivals to go strong, and to knock Barcelona out. That, I think, also factored into his thinking, because he had classed them as a contender in this competition. As it's transpired, their results in the group stage hasn't backed that up, but to get a club of Barcelona's magnitude out of the competition at this stage, I think was also part of his motivation for going as strong as he did.
Yeah, because you never know if Xavi could get their act together, obviously, by the time February comes round.
Rob, sorry, I was just going to say, let's not kid anyone on. The demise of Barcelona has been coming. They've had 3 defeats in the group stage of 3 goals or more this year. And I think since 2017, I think we're into double figures now where Barcelona have suffered defeats of 3 or more goals as well. So this, you know, hasn't just been a collapse this season. This has been coming over a number of seasons. And this, you know, is the final straw for them, or the final fall at this stage of the competition.
Let's get the thoughts then of one of Benfica's heroes on the night. Roman Juranchuk was delighted to open the scoring against his former club.
For me, most important, just score the goal and go to next round. So I very respect Dynamo Kyiv, and I want to say good luck for them, but today was important, 3 points for us, and go to next round. We just think about our game, just think about our result, and I want to say big thank you for our supporters, for good atmosphere in the stadium, and that's it.
Well, a landmark goal for Juranchuk, and a landmark goal as well for Thomas Müller in the other game in the group. He becomes the eighth player to score 50 Champions League goals and the first German to do so as well. Okay, yeah, let's move on to another dramatic group, starting with Group G, where Salzburg beat Sevilla by 1-0 to become the first Austrian side into the knockout stages of a Champions League season. We'll get the thoughts of Sevilla, though, first, who finished the game with 10 men. Here is their midfielder, Ivan Rakitic.
Our idea was to be in the Champions League. We have to be really clear. This is hard for us, but we know the history of our club in the Europa League, so we have to get really strong together. We know that we are able to do really important things in this competition, and even today it's a hard night for us. But tomorrow we have to think in the future and to be ready also for the Europa League.
Salzburg knew they would be through if they just merely avoided defeat, but they went and won the game through Noah Okafor's second half goal, brilliantly made by his strike partner Karim Adeyemi. They've been a real frightening pair up front for Salzburg in this competition. Sevilla knew they had to win. They move on to the Europa League, as we heard Ivan Rakitic allude to there. But a tremendous achievement for Salzburg, who lost their head coach in the summer in Jesse Marsch. Another season of upturn and change, of course, for the Austrian champions.
Yeah, and just look back through the last five or so years and all the players that they lose: Sadio Mane, Erling Haaland, Patson Daka this summer, who scored more than 30 goals for them last season. And they always have someone else on the Salzburg conveyor belt of talent. And I'm really pleased that Adeyemi is going to be playing in the last 16 of the Champions League. It feels like his stage already. And, you know, the fact they won, I think, is very impressive. Sadly, Austria is in lockdown. They weren't supported by 30,000. That would have been a wonderful atmosphere. But the fact they only needed to draw, but they did go out and win the game, I think speaks volumes to the quality in that squad. And they will really look forward to the draw. From Sevilla's perspective, Rob, second in La Liga, ahead of Barcelona, ahead of Atletico, I think they will look back on what looked to be a favourable draw and be very disappointed to finish third. Of course, everyone in the Europa League will be very disappointed that Sevilla have dropped into it, given that they normally win it when they play in it. So they may yet have European glory, but it won't be in the competition they were initially aiming for.
Yeah, the quintessential Europa League team are back in the competition once again. Will they win that title once again? UEFA's player of the match, by the way, was unsurprisingly Noah Okafor after his winner. Let's go to Wolfsburg 1, Lille 3, and hear from the UEFA player of the match for that one as well, Jonathan Ikone.
Yeah, it's a big accomplishment. We know how, you know, what it means to get through to the stage and in the Champions League too. So we're very happy, but the road is only getting tougher from now. So, you know, we got to keep fighting and keep playing hard.
The thoughts there of Jonathan Ikone, who wasn't actually on the score sheet, but it was a comfortable night in the end in Lower Saxony for Lille. They led early. Burak Yilmaz, 11 minutes. Jonathan David made it 2-0 with 18 to play. And then Angel Gomez scored shortly after before a late consolation strike from Renato Steffen. They only had to avoid defeat, Chris, and get through. But in much a similar fashion to Salzburg, they seized the initiative and just dominated the game.
Yeah, I think 2007 was the last time they're in the round of 16. Of course, won the French title last season, lost their coach, lost some of their stars. But if you're looking for the assist of the night, I reckon Ikone's first for Yilmaz is probably it. Wonderful run down the right-hand side. And then with the outside of his left boot, he put a glorious pass through the legs of a defender, perfectly into Yilmaz's path to slam home. And again, we knew this section, as soon as a draw was made, you could make a case for all four of them going through. All four of them could go through ahead of match day six, and that doesn't happen very often. And I think there are a few that, despite Wolfsburg's dip recently in the Bundesliga, might have thought that Lille would be the team who came unstuck. But that's been the case for much of the group stage, and I think they are deserved group winners. I think in almost every match they they could have won. They didn't win their first couple, but they topped the section and they are not just through to the round of 16, but they are a seeded side in the draw.
11th in Ligue 1, the defending French champions, but they've bossed their group with 11 points. Salzburg second in 10, Sevilla going to the Europa League on 6, and Wolfsburg under Florian Kohfeldt, they've changed their head coach through the course of this campaign, are out of European competition. Okay, that's two groups down, two still to go.
Celebrate 30 seasons of that UCL feeling by picking the ultimate moment in UEFA Champions League history. It's up to you to decide whether it's the greatest goal, the best save, or even the most phenomenal piece of skill. The top two in each category go through to a knockout vote in the new year. You could win tickets for the final in May, as well as other amazing prizes.
Well, you heard it there about the UCL feeling campaign, and right now it is votes for the best comebacks in Champions League history. There's some absolute belters. The 1999 final for Manchester United, 2005 for Liverpool against AC Milan, even Barcelona's comeback against Paris, that 6-1 win. Get your votes in now with a chance to win prizes too. Let's switch things up and go to Group F. Atalanta versus Villarreal in Bergamo, a straight shootout for a round of 16 spot, was postponed due to adverse weather conditions. So we will wait to see who will be that final team as an unseeded side in Monday's draw for the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. Elsewhere in that group, Young Boys have gone out of Europe completely tonight because they were held to a 1-1 draw by Manchester United at Old Trafford. Chris, United already group winners, and Ralph Rangnick in his first home European game in charge had the luxury of being able to make loads of changes and try loads of players.
Yeah, I think he was always going to do it. As soon as I was at Old Trafford on Sunday, as soon as he named an unchanged side for that match and they played against Arsenal a few days later, you basically knew that for this match he was going to make 11 changes, and therefore he was going to see basically his entire squad in the first week of being in interim charge on the training pitch. Took the lead through a very special goal from Mason Greenwood, who has been one of United's best players this season. Again, it was 4-2-2-2 from Ralph Rangnick, so you can see tactical things which are probably now going to be the norm, at least until the end of this season.
That was the system at Leipzig a lot, actually, as well. Yeah,
and a few players in the English Premier League. He got to see some of his youngsters, including Amad Diallo and Anthony Elanga. But from Young Boys' point of view, of course, they're out. They're out of Europe, but they have picked up 4 points off Manchester United, who topped the section. You never know how it's going to go, but a comfortable night for Manchester United. And I think behind the scenes, the fact that he could make all of those changes, Ralph Rangnick is basically now going to have had an entire week with what may be some of his first choice players on the training ground. And that for Manchester United going forward will be a huge boost, that he didn't have to play them at Old Trafford on Wednesday.
OK, let's hear from the man who scored that incredible acrobatic volley to get Manchester United up and running, Mason Greenwood.
Yeah, I was going to say the first half now was what we wanted, and we controlled the game, had a lot of possession, but after they scored a bit, I feel like we dropped off a little bit, maybe because that's because of their score, but we don't know. But we dug out there in the end, and some of the young lads come on, which is amazing. That's what United's about, bringing young lads in, and we had about 6 or 7 out there today, which was amazing.
Mason Greenwood there, man more than familiar with the first team at Manchester United now, but there were some interesting substitutions made by Rangnick, giving some players some landmark moments at Old Trafford.
Yeah, including Tom Heaton, who came on for Dean Henderson, of course. He rejoined the club where he spent a long time, but that was his moment. We saw Charlie Savage come on, we saw Zidane Iqbal come on, we saw Shola Shuritira get another run at. He has played a couple of games, as has Tiedemann Mengi, a centre back. So I think that will have been a boost. And let's be honest, Ralph Rangnick will not have known anything about some of those players. Only people who watch Manchester United's under-18s and under-23s will have done. So he will have learnt a lot. He will have made opinions on some, whether they are ready for first team squad and training now, or whether they perhaps need to go somewhere else before they come back. But for those players, a huge night in front of a packed house and in the Champions League. And we see it a lot now. When you look back through the history books of some players, and you think, and often when you're doing research for games, you think, oh, they made their debut on match day 6 in the Champions League. It tends to be the time when some youngsters get their opportunity. And these may be, some of them, may be household names in 5-10 years' time.
Charlie Savage, son of Robbie Savage, former Manchester United Academy player, very successful career in the Premier League in England, was actually on TV commentary in the UK, watching that moment on the mic for the moment his son came on for his Manchester United debut. By the way, an update from the other game in that group. Confirmation, of course, that due to adverse weather conditions, the referee decided to postpone the match between Atalanta and Villarreal in Bergamo. Following consultation with the clubs and local authorities, the match will now be played on Thursday, the 9th of December, at 1900 CET. Okay, let's wrap things up in Group H. Zenit took on Chelsea. The Blues had already progressed, but victory would ensure they finished top of the section. Mark Scott, watch this one.
It's whipped in towards the near post, and it's in. Timo Werner from virtually on the goal line has tapped home. And with less than 90 seconds on the clock, Chelsea are in front. A dream start. Douglas Santos with a chance to cross in. Good ball. Must be 1-1. Claudinho from close range nudges in. He scores once again for Zenit. It's been coming. All of a sudden, Azmoun is running through the centre. 1-on-1 with Kepa. He's round Kepa. He's going to score. Zenit are in front. They've scored twice in quick succession to turn the game on its head. Chelsea have got it now, though, with Werner by the edge of the area. Quick give and go. Werner gets it back. Lukaku must score and does. Chelsea are back level. It's 2-2. And Romelu Lukaku has drawn Chelsea level. Havertz has slipped it in towards Werner, who may well have won it for Chelsea. Brilliant striking play from the German, and it could be a priceless goal for Chelsea. Chelsea 3. That's an absolutely magnificent strike, and what repercussions that could have in the section as well. Chelsea are pegged back by a blot from the blue, from the boys in blue. It's Zenit 3, Chelsea 3.
Yeah, that late strike from Zenit's Magomed Ozdoyev denying Chelsea top spot in that dramatic 3-3 draw. The reason Chelsea did not get top spot is because Juventus managed to beat Malmo by a goal to nil, so they win it by 2 points. Let's hear from Chelsea's head coach then on how things unfolded in Russia. Here's the thoughts of Thomas Tuchel.
I expected this exactly like this. A lot of quality if you give enough space, if you're not closing the space with enough effort while you attack, you can always be hurt by counterattacks. If you do big mistakes in central position, you get punished by counterattacks because the speed is high, because the quality is high, technical level is incredibly high. So you need to do your stuff on the highest level. If you do it, you can have a game like in the first 15 minutes. If you don't do it in the feeling that this should be okay, you get punished because the level is too high. This is what happened.
Well, they lost top spot in the English Premier League of the weekend, and they would lose top spot in the group, Chris. A disappointing night. I mean, Chelsea delighted, of course, to be through, but could have repercussions for later in the competition.
You heard in Thomas Tuchel's voice there and his tone, he was not happy. And the fact they were so dominant. I can't remember a more dominant performance between two big hitters in this season's group stage than Chelsea's win over Juventus last time out. So the fact that Juve topped the section is quite remarkable, really, and it means that Chelsea are now going to get one of Ajax, Bayern, Lille or Real Madrid. So come Monday, they may be even more disappointed that they did not top the section.
OK, Phil, John, Chris, let's get your moment of the night. John, you can get us up and running.
Yeah, I think we'll give the plaudits tonight to João Mário, who's had somewhat of a nomadic career in the last few years, but really seems to have come of age under this Jorge Jesus side. His move downfield of what 1-2s that led to the opening goal was quite brilliant and was a really good moment. What good, great performance from
in Munich. I think the star of the show was Leroy Sané, best player on the pitch for Bayern against Barcelona, and the goal that he scored, Bayern's second, was simply sensational.
Mine's actually from that postponed match when they went out, the Villarreal players, to their tiny section of away fans, caked in snow, and said thank you for them making the long journey in horrible conditions.
Well, the draw for the round of 16 takes place on Monday, the 13th of December, the ceremony at 12 o'clock Central European time. So make sure you tune into that one on UEFA.com, and we'll know when Atalanta or Villarreal as well are in the knockout stages. And a reminder to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, on another dramatic night, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.